This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We're going to take a very slight turn to the grim side of the dismal science right now. You could even say the slightly ghoulish side, because we are going to talk about the value of human life. I mean, subjectively, it's priceless, of course. But the reality is that economists and government regulators and businesses do put a dollar sign on life in a very real way. There's a number denominated in dollars for the cost that businesses face weighed against the benefit in lives. Marketplace's Sabri Benishor has the story of how we came to put a price tag on life.
In 1949, the Soviets tested their first atomic bomb.
President Truman's dramatic announcement that Russia had the atom secret.
The U.S. government started developing plans in case there was a nuclear war with the Soviet Union. They asked a think tank called RAND to help find a cost-effective strategy.
Their advice was to fill the skies with numerous cheap propeller planes, overwhelm the Soviet defenses.
Spencer Banzaff is a professor of economics at Georgia State. A lot of planes would be decoys without nukes, and a lot of planes would get shot down. But the few with nukes would make it through.
The Air Force hated it. They hated it. They wanted to know, what about the lives of all their pilots that would be lost in the attack? And RAND didn't have an answer. They said, well, we didn't take account of the lives because we didn't know how to put a number on them. That didn't go over well.
That plan was shelved, and for decades after this, government officials and economists inside and outside of RAND wrestled with this problem. How do you put a number value on a human life?
They said that life is too sacred to value.
Kip Viscusi is a professor of law, economics, and management at Vanderbilt. In 1982, this question of valuing life made it all the way to the vice president's desk. Government bureaucracies were fighting over whether a potentially life-saving regulation was worth the cost.
For the first time, dangerous chemicals in the workplace would be required to be labeled, indicating what to do if the worker was exposed.
That would probably save lives, but it would cost companies millions. And it all boiled down to how to value the lives that might be saved. One agency thought it was worth it, the other didn't.
And I was brought in to figure out who was right in this dispute.
Viscusi settled this using an idea from an economist called Tom Schelling, whose work was influenced by that debacle over nuclear war plans. Viscusi started by looking for places in the economy where people were forced to make trade-offs between dollars and risk of death, and he found them in the workplace.
Back when I did this analysis the first time, the typical worker in the United States faces an annual risk of death of one chance in 10,000.
Some jobs are more dangerous than others.
We can isolate how much extra wages workers are paid for those risks.
Using today's numbers, they basically find that on average, workers earn about $1,000 a year more for taking on a 1 in 10,000 chance of dying on the job. Now, what if you have 10,000 of those workers?
Then on average for that group, there would be one expected death.
So if you add up a little risk of death and a little risk of death and a little risk of death, you get a death. And if you add up what everyone was paid to take on all those little risks of death, you get a number.
In total, we would be having to pay the workers $10 million for the one expected death that would occur to their group.
That is what is called the value of statistical life, and it is the dollar value assigned to a theoretical human life.
$10 million.
Now, economists admit that people kind of recoil when they hear about this value of statistical life approach. Economist Spencer Banzaff again.
People understandably think that it has to do with valuing a specific person's life. We're not trying to put a dollar value on individual lives. If a six-year-old girl falls down a well, we're not going to ask how much is she worth. We're just going to get her out.
But we do put a value on risks to life. We pay for safety features. We demand more for dangerous work. So the value of a statistical life is technically a measure of life based on how we value risk to life. And it lets you compare, say, the cost of a regulation in dollars to the benefit in probable lives saved. That regulation, by the way, back in the 80s about the labeling hazardous chemicals, it went ahead. It was worth it, they said. Kip Viscusi.
Every major government regulation that involves mortality risks is assessed using the VSL. Transportation regulations and environmental regulations.
So the value of statistical life is basically a way to value a life without actually valuing life itself. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor for Marketplace.